It's time for the Ice Cap Podcast, the official podcast of the Jacksonville Icemen. This is your one stop for up-to-date Icemen and ECHL news. Now here's your host, Alex Reed.
And welcome back to another edition of the Ice Cap Podcast. We talk about all things Jacksonville Icemen related as the Kelly Cup playoffs well underway here in this 2022 season. And oh boy, we've got ourselves quite the matchup ahead here as the Jacksonville Icemen and the Florida Everblades set to do battle in the battle for the Sunshine State coming up here at the end of this week. I am your host, Alex Reed, joined by my co-host, the great and the legendary Arlie Johnson. Arlie, welcome. Glad to have you again, man. And welcome to the program here. It's the first round. I can tell you right now, with the NHL playoffs starting and the ECHL playoffs, I'm just pumped right now. This is so much fun. And I'm jacked up every morning I wake up. This is just a fun time of year.
Oh, it's so good. It's Christmas time for hockey fans, of course, and for hockey players alike. And an incredible first round series with a sweep of the Atlanta Gladiators. And now, as if that wasn't good enough, now you have a chance at the South Division crown against your in-state rival, a chance to knock them off of their perch because they are so used to being there. And now it's in the Icemen's hands to dismantle them and find a way to move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's what's at stake for this particular round. And you wouldn't want it any other way if you're a Jacksonville Icemen fan.
No, yeah, you certainly wouldn't. And I'll tell you, you know, this was kind of looking for the longest time, Arlie, before, you know, in the final weeks of the regular season, it was looking like this was going to be the first round matchup.
As it
was way ahead. They had the number one spot. Icemen were in the three spot. Obviously, Florida was two. It took Florida winning the last game of the regular season to win the division title. But this looked like this was going to be the matchup in the first round. And we were all kind of getting geared up for it. And well, it's happening, the matchup, but now the stakes are higher as both teams have now advanced. This is going to be so much fun. These are two teams that do not like one another, from the players and it could be argued the staff too. I don't know, but it's going to be war. This is going to be a lot of fun. And like I said, it's going to kick off up here in Estero, Florida this Friday and Saturday, but it's not going to take very long for these two teams to have those hostilities be reacquainted.
No, there's plenty of hostilities between the two that is carried over, not just for 1 year, but for 5 years. It has always been that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Jacksonville's kind of been looked at least from Florida's perspective, I can imagine. It's like a little brother that they just kind of shoo away. And for a couple of years, maybe it was that way, but the Icemen have always been a thorn in Florida's side. Even when Jacksonville didn't have their best teams, they always seemed to play their best against Florida. And that was no different this year either. Only this year, the Icemen were very talented and they were very good. And they were still a thorn in Florida's side to the tune of a 7-2-1 record against the Everblades this year. A 10-game season series that was very tightly contested. There were 6 overtime games overall. But if you're going up against Florida and you play them 10 times and you only drop 2 of them in regulation, I mean, incredible props for Nick Lucco and the players, of course, for getting through that season series as well as they did. Now the question is, does it carry over at all? Most everybody would say, no, of course it doesn't carry over. The playoffs are an entirely different season, but I'm not going to say that that's not a good thing. Jacksonville playing well against Florida, to me, indicates that they're going to have a ton of confidence going into this series. They know they can beat this team. They just have to execute and do the right things.
Yeah, they really, that's it. I mean, that's exactly it. The track record proves itself there. But I think the keynote there was, you know, obviously the Icemen winning, those majority of those games. But again, you mentioned the 6 overtime games. I mean, that's how close it was. I mean, it was tightly contested, but this young team found a way against a team, you know, that's got a little bit more veteran presence. Jacksonville was forced into that situation in round one with Atlanta. You have the young team. We talked about the big gap in playoff games played between Atlanta and Jacksonville, staggering, was like 117 to 13 if you didn't count Williams, the goaltender. So Obviously now everyone's got just four games under their belt, but they're going up against another club that they've been here before with a lot of veteran presence there as well. So again, it's that youth versus veteran matchup here that is going to be intriguing in this series as well.
Florida has a very similar makeup of their roster to Atlanta because they are veteran laden. Guys like John McCarron, who seems like he's been there for about 17 or 18 years, for crying out loud. It seems like he's been there his entire adult life, which he probably has. Blake Winicky, guys like that. Joe Pendenza, you bring in an Alex Aliardi, who has been a major presence. This team is stacked. So they're built the same as Atlanta in terms of it being a veteran team with a ton of experience, but they are more loaded offensively. They can go 1-10 forwards and be threatening. I don't think their defense is actually as good as Atlanta. That maybe is going to be the weakness for the Everblades, but here's where the difference is for Florida compared to Atlanta. Their goaltending is exceptional. Atlanta really struggled with their goaltending in the playoff series, and that really shone through, at least to me it did, in most of those games between Atlanta and the Icemen. Florida will not have that problem. Cam Johnson came down from the American Hockey League just in time for the first round playoffs. He played most of those games. He was fantastic. If he doesn't go, it's Parker Gahagan, who has had plenty of experience. I believe he won a cup with Newfoundland just a couple years ago, if I'm not mistaken, as well. So there's playoff experience there also. This is an extremely difficult task for the Icemen to be able to keep Florida offensively at bay. And then you've got to be able to capitalize on their defense. And hopefully you can catch their goaltenders where they're just playing an average game as opposed to an above average game. Florida's not going to allow a lot because of their goaltending. And I think if Jacksonville can find a way to maybe get, you know, three past either Gahagan or Johnson, I'm going to guess it's Johnson in game one, that hopefully will be enough. But it's going to come down to Jacksonville being airtight defensively, which they were against Atlanta, and the goaltending being equally good. Francois Brassard, who was the goaltender of the year in the regular season, well, he was the goaltender of the year in the first round of the Kelly Cup playoffs also. He was nails. Save percentage of 96%. He allowed three goals in three games. And I think if Jacksonville wins, I think Francois Brassard may be the reason why.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, he's been on fire here as of late. And then, you know, you look at really the intangibles that this series brings. Obviously, the grit and the physical side of it, which is always accompanying these two teams when they play one another. And, you know, it's always been that way. And it is going to be interesting. And I think, obviously, too, you're talking about the defensive side of it. If the Icemen can be very disciplined in that area, and they're going to need to be, because Florida's an opportunistic team. As Greenville learned in the last game there in game six, it was a 1-1 game for a majority of the contest. We get the third period, and twice Florida was able to beat Greenville back. They got caught deep on a rush. And Florida was able to beat Greenville back to the puck the other way, and Florida was able to score on a couple chances. I think Pendenza had a goal, and Solo the other one. But those were situations where they're opportunistic, this Florida club. You give them just a little bit of wiggle room, a little bit of space. They've been a team that's typically kind of taken advantage of that. And in those tight games, as Greenville learned, it was tight up until that point. Then the wheels kind of fell off in the third in game six, and Florida captured the series. But Florida is one of those opportunistic teams that we've seen over the years. And I think a lot of that comes with the veteran presence for them. But their team, the Icemen, they've got to be mindful of those opportunities. Florida is quick in getting back in their transition.
Yeah, Florida, I mean, they're strong enough as it is offensively. They can do a lot of great things. To take a basketball term, is sort of a half court offense, but you don't want to give them transition offense. Those are three goals. I think the way that the Icemen play, I think they're suited for that to not happen against them all that often. This is an Icemen team that is balanced up front. They certainly don't count on any one guy. Defensively, the goal scoring production from the defensemen for Jacksonville is not really there, and it hasn't been there all season long. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That actually might work in Jacksonville's favor because they will have some defensemen activate into the rush on occasion, but not very often. When they do, Jacksonville is so sound in their 200-foot game that they always seem to have those people covered. They allow very few odd man rushes. And, if the balanced offense stays there up front for Jacksonville, I think they had 10 different forwards score a goal for the Icemen in the first round series against Atlanta. but the only goal that came from a defenseman in the series against Atlanta was Jacob Friend's empty netter to seal game four. That was the only one. And I don't expect to see too much more of that. I think they're just going to kind of pack it in, at least with their two defensemen, because they know they don't want to get beat on those two-on-ones against or three-on-twos against. Hopefully not allow any breakaway opportunities either, because Florida is lethal in that situation. You leave it as sort of a half-court offense kind of game. Again, going back to that basketball reference, I think that's going to really suit the Iceman quite well.
Yeah, and I think, too, if the forecheck and the forwards can really get hard, you know, play hard on their D, then won't, you know, if they force them to make those passes, rush a play, then Florida's not going to be able to get that transition, that breakout game going,
right,
and catch you on the rush. And so, you know, that'd be one area, I think, of emphasis for Jacksonville. But don't get caught, but, you know, get hard on the defenseman there trying to set up the plays and get the puck out. You know, they will make mistakes. Saw a little bit of that in the Greenville series there as well. And, you know, Arlie, when you look at how, you know, close the regular season set was, obviously from the games, a lot of one-goal games, the six overtime or shootout games, you know, special teams, we've talked about it, could play a big role. And, you know, from what we learned in the first round for each of these teams and their matchups, the Iceman penalty kill, it's been stellar. As of right now, you could say they've been perfect. 19 for 19 on the penalty kill, number one overall here in the postseason. And the power play started to wake up there in the last three games. But then on the other side of it, Florida, well, they were involved in a lot of power play goals, both for and against, in a way, in a series where we saw a lot of power play goals in that series with Florida and Greenville.
Yeah, Florida was 9 for 32 in their playoff series on the power play against Greenville, 28% clip. They allowed 6 power play goals as well. They had 15 power play goals in their series. For the Icemen, it was only 3, and it was all Jacksonville. They had timely power play goals. They had 1 in each in games 2, 3, and 4. To me, that's enough for the Icemen. If you can find a way to get 1 per game, I think Nick Lucco would take that every single game this series. If you can find a way for the Icemen to just get 1, you do not want Florida to be on the power play. When they are clicking, and right now apparently they are very dangerous. I would love for a repeat of the Atlanta penalty kill, but that is not realistic. You're going to allow a power play goal or two somewhere along the way to Florida. You've got to make sure that you allow as few opportunities as possible. You thought you had to be disciplined against Atlanta. You need to be extra disciplined against this Florida team, because specialty teams is going to play even more of a role. And kind of like what I think we both said, I certainly said it against Atlanta. If you can just neutralize the specialty teams, that's a win to me for Jacksonville. I think the Icemen are better 5-on-5 against the Everblades, because Jacksonville's defense and goaltending is so good. Florida's goaltending is excellent, but neither Cam Johnson nor Parker Gahagan are Francois Brassard's level right now. Francois Brassard is playing at a different level, and Jacksonville's defense on the whole is much better. Not just from the 6 guys that are, you know, positioned as defensemen, but the Jacksonville's forwards also are excellent at coming back and contributing. Christopher Brown, I think, is a really good component for that as well, getting him back from the Hershey Bears. That's his game. I mean, he's not, you know, he'll score some goals for you, but he is known as a 200-foot player. He is a perfect playoff style performer, and he couldn't have come back to Jacksonville at a better time.
No, he certainly couldn't have. And it's an interesting point. We'll get to Christopher Brown here in just a second and what he's brought to the table here for this club and getting him back. But you're right. You're talking about, you know, the Iceman being disciplined. Sometimes that is the best penalty kill. It's just, you know, staying out of the box. So I think that is going to be a key, because it's going to be an emotional, physical series. I think the team that harnesses that in and can turn the other way, you know, could find themselves as the benefactor there in that regard. And you just talked about Christopher Brown, right? I mean, this guy comes to the team here. We hadn't seen him since December, gets a call up with Hershey, and, you know, he brings a lot to the table here. And of course, you know, Hershey will be starting their playoffs here on the weekend as well. But, you know, so far out of Chris Brown, we hadn't seen him in a while. He's been practicing and playing at the next level for the last 3 or 4 months. Now he's back, thrusted back into the Iceman lineup. And, you know, your assessment of what he brought to the table in the games that he did play here against Atlanta, you know, he's coming out. I had to put a couple stat changes in for him. I noticed he didn't get a couple of assists, though. I ended up with a 3-point night in that last game. Wow. It out there, not to mention scoring a goal. But your assessment of having Brownie back in the mix here for the club, and, you know, the guy that wears the C.
It's a huge thing. And I think a lot of it is really kind of based on intangibles. He brings a sense of calm to the guys. You can tell from up above section 114 where we sit for the games that when he is out there, the game doesn't get too fast. The game doesn't get too rough or physical. He knows how to navigate any given situation, not just for himself, but he knows how to let his teammates know this is how to navigate this situation. It's okay, guys. If you know, maybe if there's a shift where Jacksonville is kind of on their heels and you get a face-off in your defensive zone, you get Brownie out there, and it's like that previous shift and all the momentum that the opponent created, it's like it didn't even happen. You know, you just come right back out, and everything is back to level par again. If anything else, you know, he gets his offensive game going, and the next thing you know, it's a little kind of momentum shift in the other direction in Jacksonville's favor. And I also like what he did brought to the power play also. You know, he had a power play goal in game four. It was a rip of a snapshot from the right circle where he really set up a screen in front of the goaltender just the right way. I think that he's going to be an integral part of that for Jacksonville. He already has been for the two games that he's been back with Jacksonville. But more than all of it, I just think, you know, it's almost like serenity on ice when I see Christopher Brown out there, knowing that everything's going to be okay. And, you know, it's nothing flashy, but it is so efficient. And he just doesn't seem to make too many mistakes. And it rubs off on the guys that are out there with him too.
You're listening to the Ice Cap Podcast. We're talking all things Jacksonville Icemen. They're getting set for their big playoff series here in the second round. You can call it the division championship as well, against the Florida Everblades. Alex Reed alongside Arlie Johnson. Arlie, you mentioned the power play and what Brown has brings to that power play. Let's talk a little bit about the power play so far for Jacksonville, because this was a unit that finished 26th out of 27 teams in the regular season. They were not very good coming down the stretch. I mean, this was a group that was struggling.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden at the right time, at least so it seems, at least in that playoff series with Atlanta, not only did the team, you know, come up with a power play goal in each of the last three games of that series, but even in their other opportunities, it looked good. And they were moving the puck around effectively. There was some flow. And I think the team was able to build some momentum off all that.
It took a game and a half in that series against Atlanta for it to kick in. Because I think Jacksonville, I want to say they started 0 for their first 10 or so on the power play then. But Jacksonville finally got one in the third period of game two. It was Abbott Gerdukas with the first power play goal. Since then, I believe they're 3 for 11 on the power play. And we talked about it over the weeks, you know, just get one, maybe it'll build some momentum. It'll create a little confidence. I think that's exactly what happened, Reader, is as soon as they finally got one in, they didn't have to worry about a streak or, you know, a dry spell or anything like that. Now it's okay. We just scored. Let's do it again. And they did the next game. And then it's two of them. And the next thing you know, it kind of snowballs. All right, we've scored a power play goal in each of the last two games. Let's do it again. And they did. So they just keep building like that. And it's now the confidence is there. You know, when you go in dry spells, any team, not just Jacksonville, on your power play especially, it's just a matter of time. It's not that the offense isn't there. It's not that the talent isn't there. The talent is there. I think 9 times out of 10, it's a confidence thing and just feeling good about your game, getting your swagger back, almost like winning and losing on the whole. You know, when Jacksonville has struggled at times, sometimes their swagger isn't there. Next thing you know, you get a couple of big wins, just like the Icemen did in the last two games of the regular season. It only takes one or two, and the swagger is back. Same thing for the power play. They got a couple of power play goals. They start feeling good about things. Now you go out into game four, and you're snapping that puck around like you know you're going to score. And even if you don't, like you addressed, they had some excellent opportunities, even though the ones that didn't that they didn't capitalize on. And now they're going out there with a little bit of confidence. And Florida, as great as their power play was against Greenville, their penalty kill was nothing sensational. They allowed 6 power play goals against the Swamp Rabbits. That's an average of 1 per game. I would take that all day long against Florida. If they can keep their penalty kill going the same, or at least close to the same against the Everblades, I think the Icemen are actually in a very good position now from a specialty team standpoint. Certainly the confidence is there on the penalty kill. I mean, how do you get better than 19 for 19? But I think the power play confidence is right about there with it because they feel like they're moving that puck around really well, and they're a threat to score every time they're on the man advantage right now.
Yeah, that's going to bode well for this club here going in this what's expected to be a tight series with the Everblades here, and just as it was in the regular season. And you know, you talked about Brown, we talked about Broussard and how these guys are playing. Wanted to get your thoughts. You know, who else on this Jacksonville club impressed you in the first round of the postseason here against Atlanta?
Well, I'll give you one that really stood out immediately, and this will be an obvious one. It was Brendan Harris. You know, really got the guys going offensively. I mean, he was the hero of game one with his pair of third period goals that really ignited the offense for Jacksonville when they were in a tough spot. Look, you're trailing in the third period of a game, of a playoff game. That's not easy to come back from. But thanks to him, he did it. So he was an integral part. And, you know, truth be told, I was a little concerned about how he would perform in the playoffs. He had never been in the postseason before. It's tough to diagnose how somebody's going to do, especially the smaller forwards, because it's a more physical game in the playoffs, and you have to be able to find your way through it. He did. I was incredibly impressed with Brendan Harris. And then I'll give you another guy who's more under the radar, and that was Brandon Fortunato on the blue line. I thought that he was sensational. You know, again, he's not the biggest defenseman out there, but he never seemed to get beat in a situation. He was always making the right moves. He was acting as a point guard on offense when he was out at the blue line. He's not going to be known as your goal scorer with these blazing 60-foot slap shots, but he knows exactly how to move that puck around and set things up, whether it's on a power play or at five-on-five play. In fact, I think it's actually better in five-on-five play for Brandon. So he was a guy that really stood out to me from the blue line. I expect to see more from him actually against Florida. That's his old team, remember, the Florida Everblades. And I know that he's going to have a little extra incentive to show Florida what they're missing out on by Brandon Fortunato being in an Iceman uniform in the playoffs.
Yeah, all those guys were really big. I couldn't agree more with you there, Arlie. And if I had to throw another guy in the mix and in the conversation, I really liked the play of Ben Howerchuk. And you know, not so much from the standpoint of, yeah, he had the game winner in game two in overtime. He's Mr. Overtime now, by the way.
Yes.
Three overtime winners in the regular season. And one in the postseason. But he's got 4 points, 2 goals, 2 assists. But just all the, you know, he's taking a lot of shots. He's got 8 so far. I really liked his game. I mean, you know, kind of plays at that edge and was, you know, hustling and winning races to the puck, winning battles. You know, I think for him, he's really evolved into a guy that, you know, early in the year, I kind of, you know, described him as, you know, think of the Looney Tunes character, the Tasmanian devil just spinning around, and it just, chaos. He was chaos for a while, you know, both good and bad at times. And now he's got good control on his game. And, you know, he's kind of been a guy for me that I was impressed with in the first round.
Yeah, I would absolutely throw him into the mix. And, you know, maybe this isn't it's not a guy at all, but one of the things that I noticed, which we kind of already addressed, the balance. It's going to help this team out so much. Every forward, with the exception of Derek Lodermeyer, scored a goal in that 4-game series against Atlanta. 10 guys scored goals. So nobody is feeling like, oh man, I'm not contributing to the team. I haven't helped out, or I'm struggling, or I'm in a rut. Nobody is. And I'll include Derek Lodermeyer in that, even though he was held without a goal in that series, the value that he brings to the team, yes, is not equated in goals and assists for him. You know, he's a tremendous penalty killer. He's a tremendous forechecker. He's your number one faceoff man, especially in the defensive zone. He absolutely did his job also, even if it didn't fill up the stat sheet. And for all the other guys, they're all feeling, okay, you know, I was able to do something in this series. I had a big goal here. Everybody had a big goal somewhere in that series. And, you know, how could you not be feeling good from an individual standpoint and from a team standpoint right now?
Yeah, you mentioned Lodermeyer, obviously winning that, you know, you talk about those little things that he brings so much value to, obviously leadership, but he can play in any situation. But he's, you know, that faceoff he won, you know, with 8.5 seconds to go in game three.
Yes.
He won it off into the corner, and Zach Brazola made an unbelievable smart play, nothing flashy, just to grab the puck and pin it up along the boards and hang on to it and let the time wind down and to secure that victory when the team was on its heels. And, you know, Arlie, when you looked at the third period of games two, obviously the team, you know, gave up a 3-goal lead, had to win it in overtime, games 4 and 5. The Icemen were largely outshot by Atlanta in those periods. The third period had been the go-to period for Jacksonville all season long when you looked at the numbers, but the Icemen were outshot 48-11 in games two, in the third period of games two, three, and four combined. And, you know, often I think in games two and three, you saw the team when the pressure got poured on and they were on their heels, making a lot of mistakes. They were rushing things. I saw a little bit of maybe uneasiness and panic. Guys had a tough time, you know, clearing the puck out. But in game five, you know, again, Atlanta brought, turned up the heat. I'm sorry, game four, pardon me. You know, when you saw that, you know, that Atlanta was turning up the heat again and largely outshot the Icemen again, I think it was 17-3 in game five or game four. I don't know why I keep going to game five, but in game four, it seemed as if I saw Jacksonville be a little bit more poised. To me, it's like they experienced it. Okay, you know, we survived it. I thought they were making the right reads, making the right plays, taking that extra second to, you know, make the right decision. And I think it really was bode well for them. But some very auspicious third periods for this Jacksonville club in the last three. Do you see that as being a problem maybe heading into the next round?
If you're going to pick one thing that you would criticize from the Icemen from the first round series, that would be it, is not being able to put things away in the third period without a ton of pressure. Let's face it, games two and three in particular, the Icemen survived and did just enough to get the job done with, and really the last 10 minutes of game one also, Atlanta blitzed Jacksonville in those last 10 minutes. Francois Brassard had to be, come up large in games one and three. Charles Williams actually made a couple of big saves, even though he allowed three goals in the tail end of game two. Also, that has to change. And you're right, it did get a little bit better in game four. I think once the game went to 4-0, as soon as Christopher Brown scored that power play goal against Atlanta, that was basically the end of it. And you knew that Atlanta was done. You do that against Florida, you're not going to get away with it. The Everblades are too good. They're too deep. I mean, you're talking about guys like Jake Jeremko or Derek Angeli on a third line for Florida. I think Derek Angeli was the top 10 in the league in scoring. I don't think he's on either of their top two lines right now. That's how good that team is offensively. You're not going to get away with that. And the Icemen, it came from out of nowhere. That really surprised me that Jacksonville was so much on their heels in the third periods of these games protecting leads, because they were not that way at all in the regular season. They were so good in the regular season, preserving these leads, not just in terms of results, getting the W's, but in terms of how they got there. They were almost never severely outshot in the third period with a lead. And yet here we are, three games in a row against Atlanta. And yes, it did not come back to bite the Icemen, but it did happen. And Atlanta was able to really pressure Jacksonville in a way that nobody else had. Give credit to Atlanta. They were also the best team in the league at coming back from trailing by two after two periods. By the way, Florida is second best in the league in that category. They had 9 victories trailing after two periods of play. Jacksonville was third. So, I mean, these are the three teams in the league that that had the best success rate when trailing after two periods of play. You're not going to put Florida away. You know it's going to have to be a 60-minute battle every single time. These two teams have been at it too many times before not to know that. And you cannot have a period where you're preserving a one-goal lead and you're getting outshot 17-3. It's not going to work out against Florida. I'm glad it worked out against Atlanta. You better not count on it going that way again against the Everglades.
Yeah, and that's a good way to transition into talking quickly here about Florida, because, you know, you talk about the dangerous punches. We know the usual cast of characters, the John McCarrans, the Blake Winnickies. We know Alex Aliardi is a guy that, can put the puck in the net there as well. But there's some guys here in the postseason that have really pieced together some pretty good postseasons. Obviously, Joe Pendenza, a veteran guy, he's leading their team in scoring heading into the series with 8 points, 2 goals, 6 assists. But, that Matt Gennaro, guy they got there at the trade deadline and trade with Wichita, spent much of the year up in the American Hockey League with Bakersfield. He's got 4 goals. Very dynamic, very explosive player. He's another guy, along with the newcomer too. He's a local product there. He's from Naples, and Zach Solo, a rookie. He as well has 6 points. I mean, again, they've got some guys that have been scoring here at will, but those are some guys, in addition to the usual cast of characters that we talked about, that are going to have to be mindful of here. I mean, they're going to have to put 60 minutes together, Arlie, against this club, because if you just back off just a bit in typical Florida fashion, they'll make you pay for it. if you take a couple minutes off.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it with the Icemen being a very balanced offense. Well, Florida is loaded and balanced. They are both. Hard to get that. I'm not sure if there's any team that the Icemen have faced all season that is more capable of scoring offensively from forward number one to forward number 10. You know, like we talked about, Derek Angelou, who they acquired from Kansas City late in the year, is a very, very good forward, top 10 in the league in scoring. Jake Jeremko has really kind of hurt the Icemen actually a couple of times this year. Dylan Vander Esch is an excellent player. I'm not even sure if he's getting ice time right now for Florida. He certainly didn't play in every game in the series against Greenville. And that's not because he's not good enough. It's just a numbers game for Florida. They have that many weapons right now. And you know, haven't even talked about John McCarron, who I will say, knocking on wood here, the Icemen handled John McCarron and Blake Winicky in the regular season better than anybody in the league by far. They did so well against them. So they know how to play against these guys. They're going to need to continue to do so. John McCarron, 10 games against Jacksonville, 0 goals against the Icemen this year. They just put the clamps on them. They're going to need to do it again, though, because this team is – they just have too much up front. They've got a lot of weapons, and they know how to use them. But Jacksonville has the best defense also. So, you know, it's strength against strength here, and let's see which one wins out.
And John McCarron, by the way, 4 points in the series, and well, he was suspended for two of them and pretty much missed a third game when he was tossed for that kneeing major. So pretty much missed three games, but yet still has 4 points in four games played. So I think he's going to be just fine here moving forward. But Arlie, real quick, we look at the schedule here. Obviously, things are getting going here. I know I can't wait. I'm certain you're just ready to go as well here. But Just like everybody. I mean, this has been long awaited. Let's go. Second time these two teams have met in the postseason, obviously back in 2019, the Icemen took on the Everblades and Florida took that series 4-2 in 6 games. And we start this weekend, Friday and Saturday. It's May 6th and 7th. Icemen taking on the Florida Everblades to start off this South Division final, the division championship round, if you want to call it that. Again, 7:30 for game one, 7 o'clock for Saturday's game. And you can catch those games on Mixlr and on flowhockey.tv. And then of course, the series will shift back to Jacksonville for games 3 and 4. That's Tuesday, May the 10th and Wednesday, May 11th. And then should there be a game 5 necessary, that would also take place in Jacksonville on Friday, May 13th. Get your tickets now. It is going to be war. It's going to be a lot of fun. And again, Ticketmaster.com. JacksIceman.com, or give our great staff a call at the Iceman office. That's 904-602-7825. If you're driving and you don't have a pen, that's 904-602-PUCK. And then game 6 and 7 would take place, if necessary, in Estero as well on Monday, May 16th and Tuesday, May 17th. Arlie, it's here. We're heading to the second round. It's coming up. I just want to get your final thoughts before we close this thing up here today.
Well, let's talk about the series ahead against Florida and maybe a couple of the keys. You know, I think for Jacksonville, really the first period of game one is going to tell me a lot. Jacksonville's going to go eight days without a game. So it's been a while. You know, how they've navigated this week with rest and with practice time, making sure that they're still playoff ready in game form, I think is going to tell me a lot. Florida just won their series. You know, they're going to have not as much of a rest, which means that they'll still kind of going to be in game mode a little bit. Plus, they'll be at home on a Friday night, huge crowd. First 10 minutes of game one is going to tell me a lot. I think if Jacksonville can get through that probably scoreless or so, or at least in a tie situation, I really like their chances, not just for game one, but throughout the series. I think that will really set the tone for me, is to make sure that Florida doesn't feel like they can jump on Jacksonville. The Icemen were 4-0 in Florida this year on the road, which is remarkable to me. Three of those games were decided past regulation, but 4-0 is 4-0. And, you know, the Icemen actually had a couple of come-from-behind victories in Estero as well. I don't want it to go that way this time. I want to make sure that they can play with the lead as they did against Atlanta. The Icemen trailed in that series against Atlanta for a grand total in the series of 10 minutes and 43 seconds. It's not going to be like that against Florida, but you want to play with the lead against this team. and you know, start playing to your strengths, start using your defense and your goaltending to help you carry you to victory. So let's get a good start and show up on time on Friday for game one. And that hopefully sets the tone for me. And we'll see what happens from there. But I'm going to be a very interested observer in the early portion of this series.
Well, it is stage is set, Arlie. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be war. I know we were exchanging some memes and videos, you know, between the two over the weekend as we were just trying to occupy our time as we waited who was going to be our opponent. And now we know it's going to be a fun matchup here as you got the perennial powerhouse going against a team that I think really trying to assert itself now in the division and announcing itself like, hey, we are here. And, you know, we feel like this is that opportunity to try to maybe take that a little bit.
Yeah, I think the Icemen feel like it's their time. You know, they why not us? So kind of like we talked about going into the Atlanta series, the Icemen were every bit as good as Florida all the way through the regular season. I know they finished as the third seed, but that does not tell the whole story of how Jacksonville's season was. They're still a 40-win team in a very difficult division. And, you know, and that's with one rough spell in the tail end of March and into early April. You take that away, and the Icemen were right there with everybody, not just in the division, but within the league. So I guess it's prediction time for us, Reader. And, you know, we were kind of both on it with Atlanta, thinking that it was going to be Jacksonville in five. It ended up being four. I think we both predicted Jacksonville in five, mostly because of the way that the format went down with four straight games at home for the Icemen. Well, Jacksonville does not have that luxury this time. But I tell you what does bode well for the Icemen is how well they've performed on the road this year, in particular, how well they performed in Florida on the road this year. They are supremely confident that they can get the job done in that building. They haven't lost there all year. Why should that change now? It will be an absolute dogfight. I expect multiple overtime games in this series, but you know what? Give me Jacksonville in six. I think they're going to do enough. I think they find a way to split the first two games in Florida. I think they win the three games, at least the series, if you will, games 3, 4, and 5 in Jacksonville. And then, you know, they'll have to do it on the road. Unfortunately, it's not going to be easy, but if anyone's capable of doing it, it's the Icemen. I think if Jacksonville has the series advantage going into those final two games, I think Jacksonville feels like they can finish the job. And that's where I've got it. Jacksonville is South Division champions is my prediction in six over the Florida Everblades.
All right. Well, hey, I like the sounds of that. You know, I'm gonna take it a little bit of a step further. I'm gonna say Jacksonville in seven, with three, maybe even four overtime games in this. Oh. I just feel like it's happening. It's gonna be so tight. It has been that way all season long. I don't see it when things. This is the time of year where everything tightens up to begin with, and there's not a ton of scoring. I just feel like this is that time where yeah, we are gonna have a lot of overtimes here in this. I'm going to go Jacksonville in seven, but I'm with you, Arlie. I think, like you said there, I think you know, the fact that the Icemen have been able to play so well on the road this year. And listen, Florida has not been good at home this year, surprisingly.
Right, good point.
And their two wins against the ice, their wins against the ice came here on home ice. So they've been the road warriors, you know, the Everblades have been. But, you know, Jacksonville's been pretty good in that building here as well. So, yeah, I'll take Jackson seven. I can't believe it. We both picked Jacksonville. It's unbelievable.
Who would have thought it?
Who would have thought? Yeah. Well, listen, Arlie, hey, we're out of time here, man. But listen, it's going to be fun. I can't wait to, you know, get on the mic with you for these games here at home. You know, hope that the arena's rocking. I mean, I know it's going to be rocking, but would love to see it packed in there. So again, for any of there, if you don't have your tickets, this is going to be a fun series for, you know, these two teams just do not like one another. Again, go to Ticketmaster.com. go to JacksIceman.com and get your tickets. It's going to be a wild ride.
And Reader, I can't wait to listen to you. It's been a long time since there's been an Iceman road game. So I cannot wait to tune in to Reader on the mic on Mixler or on flowhockey.tv. I know a lot of fans out there feel the exact same way. So you know, let's listen to you carry the Icemen to at least one, if not a pair of victories in Estero. I know it's a place that you're highly familiar with as well from your extensive background in the ECHL. So let's get it going. Call a great game, call a couple of great games, and we'll see you back for Jacksonville's next home game on Tuesday, the 10th of May. Cannot wait for that to happen.
All right. Well, there you go, Arlie. Hey, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun here. As we wrap things up here again, just want to thank everybody for tuning in here to our podcast here. And Arlie and I are going to try to keep this going here for the rest of the postseason. But big thank you to all of our listeners here that continue to listen to this program as well. Big thanks to Jenna Bernenden for helping with the editing side of some of this and getting it all posted and promoted on the social media. So big thank you to her as well. But hey, this has been the Ice Cap Podcast for Arlie Johnson. I'm your host, Alex Reed. Until next time, round two coming up.